Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Rod Bryant, along with my amazing co-host, Jerry Gordon. And we also have a very special guest that we'll introduce to you in just a moment. He is a distinguished guest in the political media world, the correspondence world. And we're going to be talking to a guy by the name of Gil Hoffman, who is Jerusalem Post political correspondent. You don't want to miss this. We're going to be talking about Israeli elections. And now, amidst the Israeli elections, I know there are a lot of people that are scratching their head, and maybe some people concerned or whatever, about the indictments that have been handed down from the Attorney General to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So, Jerry, should people be worried about that, or should we be really excited about the election?
I think what's really exciting about this election, notwithstanding the indictments handed down by the Attorney General against Bibi, is the fact that what is emerging is the future generation of leaders in Israel. So therefore, it's the next election after this that by far is the most exciting.
Unlike any of the other countries in the region who do not have free elections like this, we're getting to see democracy at work, and it's very, very exciting.
Absolutely. And that's the wonderful aspect of this discussion we're having with Gil Hoffman today.
Now, Gil is a professional in his field. He is very familiar with the background, sort of the behind-the-scenes look of politics in Israel. So this is going to be a complete education for us all. What is very important to know is the process of democracy in Israel is unlike any other country around. So I'm not sure that is there any country with the same parliamentary system?
The closest equivalent to it, ironically, is the Dutch parliament, okay, which has a proportional weighted voting system.
Right. And so it's going to be really educational. You don't want to miss it. Give you an opportunity. So when you're watching television and you're listening to broadcasts and you're hearing different phrases, you're going to be able to pick them up and understand what's going on. Jerry, a great show with Gil Hoffman from Jerusalem Post. You guys, don't go away. We'll be right back after these very short messages.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back from the break. Thank you so much for sticking around. We are sponsored officially by TorahLearningChannel.com. Torah Learning Channel is found on the internet, also on YouTube, the famous YouTube. You can get 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, the best English Torah teachers in the world. So you don't want to miss an opportunity. What is really nice is you have a great eclectic group of rabbis from all different views and approaches, all Orthodox. You'll not regret it. Jerry, we have our guest, our distinguished guest, Gil is with the Jerusalem Post. He's the political columnist. Gil, we really appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Pleasure being with you.
Jerry, why don't we go ahead and get started into our questions? We understand that Gil does have a rest of the evening that's full of other things that needs to be done. So let's go right into the questions.
Thursday, February 28, 2019, a Likud appointee, Israeli Attorney General Avishai Mandelblit, filed several indictments against Prime Minister Netanyahu, accusing him of bribery and corruption. What are those charges based on under Israeli law?
Okay, so first of all, there's the expensive gift affair, where Netanyahu received very expensive cigars, pink champagne, and jewelry from a rich Hollywood producer, and in return helped that Hollywood producer to sell a television station in Israel that was worthless to one of the richest Jews in America for a huge amount of money. He also helped that Hollywood producer get a visa to stay in the United States and tried to extend his tax shelter over here in Israel. And so the Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit decided to indict Netanyahu only for breach of trust and fraud, not for bribery, in part because he didn't want to get that Hollywood producer Arnon Milchan in trouble because he's helping with the other cases. The second investigation is the newspaper collusion affair. The first time Netanyahu was the prime minister, there were no pro-Netanyahu media outlets. And so he got his friend Sheldon Adelson to start a pro-Netanyahu newspaper that quickly became the largest circulation paper. Now, had Netanyahu stopped there, that would be fine. But he met with the publisher of the second largest paper, and he said, if you make your newspaper less anti-me, I'll get Sheldon's paper to not come on weekends, which is a bribe of about $1 million a year worth of ads. But the attorney general decided to indict Netanyahu in that case only for fraud and breach of trust as well. But to indict that newspaper publisher for bribery. The third case involves a millionaire who owned the cable company and the phone company. Netanyahu's communications minister let him continue to own both in return for positive news coverage on a news website that that millionaire also owned. And in that case, the attorney general has decided to indict Netanyahu for fraud, breach of trust, and bribery.
These seem to be pretty serious charges. I mean, are these things, do you believe there's enough stick to it to for it to go to a conviction?
Well, if there was only one case, then maybe there'd be some kind of plea agreement where he wouldn't plead guilty to anything, or he'd plead guilty only to a minor charge. Because there are three, and because this attorney general is so cautious and professional, it seems pretty hard for Phoebe to be able to get out of this one.
What is the history of the past indictments and convictions of other former Israeli prime ministers?
Ehud Olmert went to prison for bribery. He was also convicted of breach of trust in a different case. When he was convicted of breach of trust, he called a press conference to declare victory because he wasn't convicted of bribery. Then he was convicted of bribery several months later, and he served a year and a half in prison after being sentenced initially to 6 years in prison. We've had a finance minister go to prison, an interior minister go to prison. It's not pretty.
How is this different, would you think, from between Prime Minister Netanyahu and these other indictments? Is there any difference here?
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It happens.
I thought it was on silent.
That's fine. So, how do the other charges or past convictions differ from Prime Minister Netanyahu's?
Netanyahu, the bribery charge is for more money. The expensive gift affair, he's accused of 700,000 shekels worth of receiving expensive gifts worth 700,000 shekels. That's more than Ehud Olmert went to prison for.
Ooh.
What is the gamut of public opinion in polls regarding the timing of these charges against Netanyahu and whether he should resign or continue in office and campaign?
The Likud voters seem to think that he should continue remaining prime minister. The people who are voting against him want him to go as soon as possible, and there are very few undecided people in between.
So you're telling me there's a complete split, at least, in responses from the electorate?
I've seen a poll that asked the specific question about whether he has to quit now. And there are more polls that are going to be taken over the next couple days. But the public is as divided on the Netanyahu issue as it is on anything.
So what is the actual poll numbers? Those in support, those are against?
For and against Netanyahu remaining prime minister?
Correct.
After the indictment?
Correct.
According to the latest poll I saw, 41% would say Benny Gantz is more fit to be prime minister, and 40% said Netanyahu.
Wow.
So it's really even.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
For the benefit of our Glober listener audience, could you explain briefly the Israeli party list system, which differs from most parliamentary election systems in the West, with multiple parties contending for 120 seats in the Knesset?
So it is very complicated. We have 45 parties that are running in this election, which is a record high. When we go to vote on election day, there'll be 45 pieces of paper in front of us, low tech, and we'll be putting one of those in an envelope, and we will then count those votes and do a very complicated math procedure to figure out how many seats out of the 120 each party got. The two largest parties kind of skewed in their favor, thrown out votes, for instance, that go to parties that don't cross the minimum threshold of 3.25%, end up being divided among those two largest parties.
So they're not actually voting for an individual candidate, but the candidate that's within a party, correct?
Yes, each party decides on their own who their candidates for Knesset are, 1-220.
Okay, good, yes. Jerry?
How many of these parties, 45 parties you're talking about in Israel are contending, are above the so-called 3.25% threshold to qualify for standing in the new Knesset?
Look, last time we had 10. It'll probably be about the same, and I mean, and since we'll have, since there are a lot of parties who are teetering, we might end up having less than before.
Could those that fall below that threshold join either of the two major contending coalitions, the so-called center-left blue-white versus Likud left-right wing?
There are parties that are from the left that are teetering. There are parties on the right that are teetering. There are parties in the center that are teetering. We've got 7 parties teetering right now. That's what makes this election exciting, because people, you know, they want to vote for a party that has a candidate for prime minister, but then they also don't want to see the party they might agree with ideologically the most left out.
Rod?
Yes, I'm sitting here thinking, I know that we have another question wanted to go to, but something did come to mind. For those people in throughout the world that do not understand Israeli politics and would say, how disabling is this going to be if Netanyahu is convicted? If he goes away, we get a new prime minister. What can you say to reassure them that this is a proper democratic process that is going on, unlike the nations around Israel?
Look, this is kind of funny for me, because in Israel, we're very good at recycling leaders much better than we are at recycling paper and plastic. They never do quite go away. But in America, they elect a new president every 8 years.
Right.
That's no big deal. Okay, you know, Netanyahu is obviously the most experienced leader humanly possible in Israel, except if Moses or Jesus comes here. So Jesus himself got in trouble with the law around here, so it wouldn't be very much different. Maybe he did. We will have whether Netanyahu goes in 3 months or in 3 years or in 10 years, we will have a less experienced leader,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yeah, well, this is one of the fascinating things, because the process there is completely foreign to most other democratic republics or even parliamentary systems. And it is very curious. We're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the political experience and standings that the opposition, Benny Gantz, Moshe Yaalon, and some of the others. So when we come back, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We're going to try to educate you on a little bit what's going on in the world of Israeli politics. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
It is a wonderful day to be listening to Beyond the Matrix. We are trying to give you a little bit of education, give you a chance to catch up, to find out what's going on with Israeli politics, sort of how it works, and the upcoming election. And also, briefly, we talked about the indictments that have been handed down, three indictments specifically, from the Attorney General to Benjamin Netanyahu. So we'll get right on it. We have Gil Hoffman. He is Jerusalem Post political columnist, and we really appreciate you coming on, Gil. Jerry, go ahead with your question.
Gil, the center-left blue-white coalition is led by two former IDF chiefs of staff, Benny Gantz and Moshe Bogi Yaalon, joined by none other than Yair Lapid, their secular Yesh Latid party. What are their backgrounds, political experience, and standings in Israeli polls?
Okay, well, the polls are smiling right now on them. They seem to be leading Likud by 10 seats in the polls, according to some of them, and as little as 4 or 5 in other polls. But they've gotten positive coverage with them forming this bond, and then Netanyahu got the negative coverage of him being indicted. So I'm not sure the polls are entirely fair right now. Their experience. Well, Lapid has 5 years now of experience in the Knesset, and he was a finance minister for two of them, a member of the Security Cabinet, member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee when he was a member of Parliament and not a minister. There are three chiefs of staff of the IDF who said today that they have 117 years of security experience between them, but obviously no political experience yet.
So let me ask you, speaking of security experience, which is one of my favorite topics because of our military background, Jerry, the same. That sounds good, but where do they sort of lean when it comes to their views? Are there conservative views? Are there more of a liberal view of politics? Where do they stand? I can imagine they're probably pretty strong on defense and security, correct?
They are strong in defense and security. Yes. They did say today that they are ready for handling any challenge on any front when they toured the Golan together.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the quote was, "We will know how to deal with any threat on any front as needed."
I could imagine.
But when it comes to other issues, they're still trying to figure themselves out. You know,
okay.
Gantz initially took the Hamilton, or I guess Aaron Burr, advice for politics, which is talk less, smile more.
It's a smart move.
Yes, if any listeners are interested in going into politics, my advice to you is don't get any of those things that people disagree with. Yes, opinions.
Right up front.
Stay away from those.
Right.
If you have any of those, people are disagree with you, and that's not going to help you politically. So, but since then, they've crafted opinions to be what the people are in favor of, basically. That means they might be in favor of the two-state solution, but they're not saying it out loud right now. They're in favor of keeping settlement blocks, United Jerusalem, Golan Heights, Jordan Valley.
Good.
But anything else seems to be fair game. And matters of religion and state, they seem to have a somewhat secularist outlook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any substance to allegations that former Labour Party Prime Minister and Defense Minister Ehud Barak was behind the new party, Reliance Israel, headed by these two former IDF chiefs, Benny Gantz and Moshe Yalon?
No, they're staying away from him. You know, he's the second least popular person in Israel, second most unpopular person in Israel after Netanyahu's wife, Sarah. What the allegations were, which are probably true, is that he funded a campaign to try to get them united, where there was like pressure in front of the activists coming to the different houses and billboards, trying to get the potential partners to join together. But he didn't want Gabi Ashkenazi, his nemesis, another former chief of staff of the IDF, to join them, and Ashkenazi ended up being the mediator that brought everyone together, not Barak. And so Barak is actually in the doghouse right now.
But he seems to be on the verge of becoming a centimillionaire in, what is it, medical marijuana?
Medical marijuana is a field that has a bright future. And Israel passed a law about a month ago in the cabinet. The cabinet approved medical marijuana exports, which means that Israel is making prophecies come true. We really are the light unto the nations now.
Wow. Boy, I tell you.
What is the so-called French law that would grant immunity from prosecution for the prime minister? Does that have a chance?
No. Look, the law is in France that you can't investigate, not only not indict, you can't investigate a sitting prime minister or president. And I understand why that could be helpful if you want to get your prime minister and president to be a prime minister or president full time and not have to worry about people looking into what you're doing. It has rhyme or reason to it, but it also breeds corruption. There is no party other than Likud that would pass such a thing to work retroactively. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
In the recent Likud primaries, Prime Minister Netanyahu had been challenged by MKs, R, and others. What is the depth and quality of Likud ranking members as possible successors to Netanyahu, and who are they?
Look, there will be an election eventually to succeed Netanyahu as leader of Likud that likely will decide our next prime minister or maybe the prime minister after that. And that will be perhaps the most exciting election in Israel's history. Keep in mind, there have been only four leaders of Likud going back to the 1930s. That's a job with a lot of job security. So anybody who sees himself having that job anytime in the next 25 years would want to run now. And so I think you'll have more than 10 candidates running for that job, especially if you consider that there were 8 candidates for leader of the Labour Party, 7 candidates for mayor of Jerusalem, 6 candidates for the leadership of Meretz, that is only 6 seats. So maybe 12 candidates, 13 running for leader of Likud would not surprise me. Who are they? They're their current ministers, like Yisrael Katz and Gilad Erdan. The former ministers, like Gideon Saar, is on his way in a comeback, a charismatic guy, mayor of Jerusalem for a long time, Nir Barkat would probably run, Danny Danone, their current ambassador to the UN, would probably run, and the list goes on and on and on.
I saw Yuli Edelstein on a...
And I forgot Yuli Edelstein, sorry. Edit that tape. Yuli Edelstein, our current Knesset speaker, will run, and then he finished first in the Likud primary to win the slot after Netanyahu on the Likud list.
That's terrific. Okay,
now I'll ask you a Yuli Edelstein question. Now that we've edited that part into the end of the first of the previous
question. Right.
Well, if Yuli Edelstein finished in the second slot or in the primaries, what does that say about his ability to become a prime minister at some point?
It doesn't really say anything.
because people tend to vote for the people who have the least enemies as number two. You look at the number twos in each party, that doesn't make them be the heir apparent or anything. Although he could very well make a wonderful prime minister, it's because of his skills and qualifications, not because of that vote. To be someone who can speak to the world almost as well as Netanyahu, there aren't too many people who can say that, and we could say that about him.
For our listeners...
That's remarkable. He has a Soviet dissident background, doesn't he?
He was the last Soviet dissident. And the reason why he was the last Soviet dissident was because of his integrity. They told him, well, you can leave your terrible, horrible sentence that you have in Siberia where he was working every day cutting large pieces of wood with antiquated, unsafe equipment that could at any point cut off a finger. Only if he would admit to the charges that he went to prison for, drug charges that were trumped up, and he refused.
Wow. That is
Siberia for an extra year.
So he ended up staying for an extra year because he refused to. Wow.
That is really, truly remarkable. He is so articulate in what we call American idiomatic English. Mm-hmm. That he's a worthy successor to the incumbent prime minister.
Could very well be. Though maybe he'd rather be president than prime minister. A lot of headaches in that post.
We only have we have about a minute left.
Naftali Bennett, remember him? He was a chief of staff at one point to Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's now education minister and his sidekick, Shaked Aliyet, justice minister as well. They left the Jewish Home Party and they founded something called the New Right Party with someone who's a colleague of yours joining them from the Jerusalem Post, Carolyn Glick. Why did they do that? And what positions do they hold becoming possible junior members in any new coalition, knock on wood, led by Prime Minister Netanyahu?
We have about 40 seconds.
So there's a very exciting election going on right now in Israel. It just happens to not be the current one. It's the next one. The election when Netanyahu won. And so we've seen how politician after politician has taken steps indicating that they're running in that one. And I think that what you raised of Bennett and Shaked leaving a comfortable jobs in Beit Yehudi in a party that's been around for 100 years and joining a new party that they formed themselves really is an indication of that. They want to be in Likud. Yes. They want to succeed Netanyahu as prime minister. It's just a stopover.
You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are sponsored officially by the Torah Learning Channel. You can find Torah Learning Channel on the internet, TorahLearningChannel.com, 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, the best Torah teaching that you can even imagine in English from all over the world, actually. So tune in and learn. Jerry, we were talking before the break and have been talking to Gil Hoffman from the Jerusalem Post, a political columnist. Gil, thank you so much for sticking around for all three of these segments. Jerry, why don't we just go ahead and jump right on in to our questions?
Contretemps have been raised by American Jews and even members of Likud over the corporation of one of several religious party, Atzma Yehudit, that has origins as the anti-Arab party of the late controversial Rabbi Meir Kahana. What can you tell us about why this fracas erupted.
Well, we mentioned before that 3.25% threshold, right?
Yep.
And so the more parties on the right that fall under it, the worse it is for Netanyahu. And so he tried to save one of the parties that was willing to be saved. Other parties weren't willing to be saved and said, oh, we're going to pass that 3.25%. Go away. Don't worry about us. And so it happens to be the furthest right-wing party that we have in Israel. And it's led by people who see Rabbi Meir Kahane as their rabbi, but they don't necessarily have the same policies as him. Rabbi Meir Kahane was in favor of expelling all Arabs. They're in favor of expelling terrorists. Rabbi Meir Kahane was in favor of there being separate beaches for Jews and non-Jews. They are not in favor of that. Rabbi Meir Kahane had a lot of different extreme views that they don't have. They're still more extreme than any other party, but they claim that they're not racist or insane.
At the conclusion of President Trump's Hanoi summit press conference, an accredited Israeli woman journalist with Kan, K-A-N, asked him about the standing of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu considering the announced indictment by the Israeli Attorney General in the context of the administration's yet-to-be-unveiled Middle East peace plan. What did President Trump say in response?
He said that Netanyahu is a terrific prime minister, that he's a tough guy, and Netanyahu needed it that day, on the day that he was going to be indicted. Trump helps Netanyahu, Netanyahu helps Trump. They have a lot in common. They both rile up their masses against the media and against the legal establishment investigating them. They are both on their third wife. They've both cheated on that third wife while pregnant with their son. They have a lot in common.
Wow, Gil, you should learn how to express yourself better.
Wow.
Gil, hold no holds bar, right? You're going to say what has got to be said.
Gil, as a follow-up to that question, you know, this Middle East peace plan has been peddled around for several months now. Some of it has been leaked. And what has been leaked has set people like the folks we were just talking about previously, Naftali Bennett and his sidekick. Does it really have a prayer of a chance if it was ever unveiled?
I think it's going to be unveiled shortly after the election in Israel. And I don't think the Palestinians will accept it, but it doesn't really matter. Well, once you have a plan out there that's different than all the plans that there have been before, it changes everything. Because keep in mind, people have been saying forever, everybody knows what the final borders are going to be. Well, that's not true anymore. If you have a different plan with different borders, or maybe doesn't even have borders, it's not a Palestinian state per se, it could be a state minus. Then that's going to be another idea that'll be permanently out there.
I have cousins, by the way, who live in Me'elah Adumim. I think that's an area C.
Of course. I mean, yes, Me'elah Adumim is in area C, very close to where the pre-67 border was. They don't think themselves as being in a settlement at all.
But they would also like to be under Israeli rather than military administration law.
Yes, they would like to be annexed permanently into Israel.
Is that a possibility for this Middle East plan?
Yeah. It could well be that the settlement blocks would be annexed part of Israel, whereas the Palestinians will receive more the part of Area C that's empty, barren land.
Rod?
We have five more minutes left in the segment, so I'd like to start wrapping down. We have one question I want to hold for just a moment. Would like to ask, when it comes to the peace plan, knowing that the PA is not going to accept anything out there, is there ever going to be a time that we're just they're going to wash their hands of any type of negotiations with the PA?
Look, the Palestinians have said they're not going to talk to Israel with any with this president of the United States as the mediator. Israel will always be willing to talk to them. That's who we are. We have
we'll always look for any chance of making peace.
Of course.
Peace is our national anthem and will continue to be.
Nevertheless, go ahead, Jerry.
We have a great mutual friend who's been on several times. That's Dan Diker from the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. He and his colleagues have made a bully pulpit appeal for normalization from the ground up. That means basically engaging in, shall we say, economic uplifting and business activities with the Palestinians. Do you think that's realistic?
One more time?
Normalization from the ground up economically between Israel and the Palestinians. Is that realistic?
Look, it would have to be very, very gradual. We're not really looking to have a marriage here. We're looking to have a divorce, an amicable divorce. And that's not easy. It's not as easy as peace. It's not as easy as a marriage. But baby steps is what we're going for here.
Okay.
The U.S. News and World Report released its rankings of world's most powerful countries. And, of course, Israel was ranked number 8th in the world because of its strong economy and projection of power above its size class. So with that being said, the Palestinian issue and Iran threats, is that something that the prime minister can point towards as achievements of his own? And
yes,
the recent term?
He did tonight in a speech to the Likud.
Okay.
Netanyahu can argue that Israel's facing the best economy ever, the best security situation ever, and the best diplomatic situation ever. And it's very tough to argue against that. But Israelis are not voting on the economy. They're not voting on diplomacy. And security, there's no guarantee that it couldn't be better with three former chiefs of staff of the IDF. So the election is going to be about corruption. And that's not a good thing for him.
No, I mean, in the overall view, regardless of what side of the political aisle a person's on, if someone's being nailed with corruption, that's big. I mean, it's really huge, especially I would think within the religious community as well. Overall, you're saying that it's split sort of 40-40 between people that support Benjamin Netanyahu and those people who think he should get out, correct?
Yeah, look, anything can happen in democracy. I said that the day that the election was initiated, they interviewed me on Al Jazeera. They asked me in a kind of an excited tone, is there any chance that Netanyahu could lose this election? And I said, yes, of course. It's a democracy, unlike the countries that watch Al Jazeera.
Right.
And the lady laughed, and I think she haven't seen her on Al Jazeera since then. but it's true. That's the beauty of democracy.
Anything
can happen.
Well, it's an exciting time, nevertheless, because of the fact that Israel has progressed and done some amazing things in the past few years as far as its partnership with other countries and bringing aid and support to countries in Africa, bringing water and sustainable, farming, et cetera, doing amazing things. And at the same time, it kind of disheartening to hear that we have this corruption stuff or the problems that he have with being indicted with come up. I just think it's unfortunate. Jerry, do you have anything you want to close out on before we go?
Yeah, I guess I'm speaking tour, Jerry.
Sick? I'm sorry?
Ask me about my speaking tour.
Good. Are you coming to the United States by chance?
I actually am. I'm working on two different speaking tours, one in the spring and one in the fall. I still do have time in my spring speaking tour, which is from April 28th to May the 19th, particularly the weekend after Yom HaTzma'ut, Israel's Independence Day, May 10th to 13th. And I'll be back again in the fall, October 25th. To November 11th.
So you're open for bookings?
I'm open for bookings at gil@jpost.com.
And I will perhaps reach out to you. We wouldn't mind having you here in Pensacola.
I'm going to be very close to that in Birmingham, Alabama. So,
well, that's my good buddy who's the editor up there with the Southern Jewish Living publication, Larry Brook. If you're going to be up in Birmingham, you could swing by. We'd love to have you.
Don't forget, the email address again is gil@jpost.com, correct?
Correct. Thanks so much.
And make sure you try to reach out to him if you get a chance. Hopefully, I'll be able to see you when you come here as well. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you at the same time next week here on Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.